another aspect of Yom Kippur. You know, last night I talked about the sacrifice and how Yeshua, our Messiah, is ultimately that perfect sacrifice. Well, there's various elements in all of the temple furnishings and the temple, the sacrificial system. And I want to talk about another aspect of that today. You know, Yom Kippur is a holiday that's all about the sacrifice. It's all about the atonement for our sins. And we always look back and we think about when Israel had a functioning priesthood. And they had priests that would go before the Lord and the people, and they would administer the sacrifices for the people. And today I want to talk about the high priest. So on the Day of Atonement, what does it really mean for us when we say we have a priest or a high priest? And what do the scriptures say about that? Because everybody has this picture of the priest with all the garments on, ministering before the temple, and maybe they were slaughtering the animals and shedding the blood and putting the animals on the altar. But scripturally, I want to go through and talk about the role of the priest this morning for us to get a good picture about it. It really is central, just like the sacrifices are, to Yom Kippur and to the whole concept of the sacrificial system. So the priests overall, they were from the tribe of Levi. That's where we get the book Leviticus, which we're going to be reading from this morning. But the priests were of the tribe, the Israeli tribe of Levi. And in ancient Israel, they were responsible for the temple and all the sacrifices. They were the ones in charge of it. But they had other duties as well. The priestly duties included, but were not limited to, offering the first fruits, pronouncing benedictions, teaching the Torah, lighting the lamps in the tabernacle, keeping the sacred fire always burning, furnishing a quota of wood for the sanctuary, being responsible for the sanctuary, acting as scribes. Scribes are the ones who write down the Torah. Supervise the tithing, sounding the shofar. They would sound the shofar during times of assembling, examining lepers, purifying the unclean. You know, according to Torah, there was a ceremonial process. If you were unclean, that you had to wait a certain period and you had to go and the priest had to inspect you. We see also in the New Testament with Yeshua, there's times where he says, go to the priest, offer the offering, go have the priest inspect you. So they had a job of purifying the unclean and examining lepers. They would also act as magistrates. And of course, they would offer the sacrifices. So God put together this system by which the people could be cleansed from their sins. And really, he's using the priest to do that. But this scripture I talked about last night, and really it is a central scripture, not only for Yom Kippur, not only for Judaism, but for us as believers today. So let's look at it again. The book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And last night, you know, I showed you the picture. If you weren't here, I showed a picture last night of a common practice in Judaism, in Orthodox Judaism, where, and the picture was from Brooklyn, New York. It was taken this week, and it was a picture on one of the street corners in Brooklyn where people post signs. And it was a sign for the kapara, or the kaparot, which is basically the ultra-Orthodox, what they do, and it sounds crazy, but this still happens, is they take a chicken, a live chicken, and they swing it around their head three times. And then they do a certain ritual process by which they kill the chicken, they slit its throat, they drain the blood, and the blood, the shedding of blood, they believe, allows them to fulfill this Exodus or Leviticus 17:11 commandment. Because Orthodox Judaism still recognizes the fact that the blood atonement is central to the forgiveness of sins and the shedding of all of our alchet sins. So Jewish people, observant Jews, know it's all about the blood sacrifice. And that's how they have to do it because there is no functioning temple. And the priests were the ones that would administer those sacrifices back when we had a functioning temple. So those are the priests. But there was someone called the high priest that I want to talk about today. He was the chief of all the priests. Let's look at Leviticus 21:10-12. He who is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes, nor shall he go near any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or his mother. Nor shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. So this is a very important figure. It's not just any priest. This is the one high priest. And it says things like, he can't go near dead bodies. He can't defile himself for his mother or his father. You know, if his mother or father died, he could not go and be around that dead body. Why? Because he was set apart. He was consecrated by anointing oil for his God. He was set apart, specifically set apart, more so than the priests were, for the Lord. We know the first high priest was Aaron, Moses' brother, because Aaron and Moses were from the tribe of Levi. They were from the priestly line, the priestly tribe. But the priest was in charge of the other priests. And it is said that those priests, the Levites, were given to Aaron and his sons, the high priests, given to the high priest to do their work. So in effect, the priests all served and worked for the high priest. He was the central figure. Numbers 8:19. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the work for the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting, and to make atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary. You know, when we went near the sanctuary, when Jewish people went near the sanctuary, they may have been clean by not touching a dead body, but they were not clean in the sense of they could not approach the Lord. I wish I had a picture of it. There's a picture of the tabernacle and then the temple where you had an outer court, and that was called the court of the Gentiles. And anybody could go in there. And then there was, and we'll get into it more, but then there was other chambers and rooms you went in successively, and the people couldn't go into those rooms. They were not clean. They were not purified. They didn't have the anointing oil on them. So this was a very holy ritual. It was a very holy job that they had, these priests, and certainly the high priest. And there was something very, very special that the high priest was doing every single year on Yom Kippur. Once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, there was a special job that this consecrated, set apart, holy priest would do. And we read that in Leviticus 16:29-31. Let's read about Yom Kippur. This shall be a statute forever for you in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, which is what we're in now. You shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you, to cleanse you, so that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. So the people had a responsibility. That was to afflict their souls. And we do this traditionally by fasting, by denying ourselves. That's why we fast on this day. But the priests had a responsibility too, and they were the ones that made atonement for the people. They carried it out because the people couldn't go into there. They couldn't go into the temple and do it. So let's keep reading. You know, we always read Leviticus 16:29-31, but let's go a little deeper, 32-34 here. And the priest, who was anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place, shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments, and then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting, and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be a lasting statute for you, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. So not only were the people unclean, they couldn't go in, so the high priest had to do it, but the priests were unclean and couldn't go in, we just read. He had to make atonement for the priests as well. Very special job. Once a year on Yom Kippur, the high priest goes into the holy sanctuary. And what they would do is, the high priest, before the high priest would go in once a year, where no one else could go, ever, he would tie a cord around his waist. And the people would have the cord outside so that when the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies, we just, you know, we sang about it, the Holy of Holies, if he died, nobody could go in and get him. So they would have to pull him out by the cord. So if he did not come back out, they would know to pull on the cord and pull him back out. Because nobody could go into that holy sanctuary but the high priest. He was the only one. The high priest would go into the temple with the cord around him. He would go through the portico, which is kind of like the foyer area, the opening section. He would go through the holy place. The holy place was where the golden tables of the bread of the presence were. It's where the golden lampstands were. And where the altar of incense was. And he would go from the holy place into the most holy place, which is also called the Holy of Holies. That is where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark of the Covenant was obviously very sacred and very holy unto the Lord. It was an ark. Many of you have seen a picture of it, right? If you've ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, you've seen the Ark of the Covenant. And then on top of the ark, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there was two cherubim, right? Two cherubs with their wings facing each other. And this was very important because it is said that God is enthroned or was enthroned between the cherubim. So that was the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And it had the most holy thing in it, the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim, because the very presence of God was enthroned between the cherubim, it says. And the Ark was so special and holy that it was not to be touched. So there's a story in the Old Testament when David finally conquered Jerusalem and became king over Jerusalem. You know, King David, he was the king over Israel for 6 years before he was crowned king over the entire country. And we know that he was being chased by Saul and he had to hide out. And he went and lived with the Philistines at one point because he was fleeing for his life. Well, he became king over Israel. And then he became king over all of Israel and reigned for 33 more years. But there was a scene here in 2 Samuel 6 where he brings the ark into Jerusalem. And what's happening in this scene, and we'll get to the scripture in a second. What's happening in this scene is he's going and David's actually wearing the ephod on him, right? The priestly garment. And he is dancing before the Lord. And everybody's happy, waving palm branches. Everything is going great. And then this happens. 2 Samuel 6, 6 through 7. And when they came to Nachan's threshing floor, which is where the ark was held, Uzzah put out his hand of the ark of the God and took hold of it because the oxen stumbled. So the ark was falling and he was trying to grab it. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of the Lord. The Ark of God. His error is translated in other translations as his irreverent act. You know, we had to have reverence when we were dealing with the things of the Lord. Not only, nobody could just go right into the Holy of Holies. You couldn't just walk right in and say, hey, I'm going to go hang out in here for a little bit and hang out with the Lord. No, you couldn't do that. You would have been struck down. Just the same way, you could not touch the Ark of the Covenant. You would have been struck down. You know, there's that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where at the end, if people literally looked at it, of course this is fictitious, but when they looked at it, you know, their skin would melt away. And I remember, Indiana Jones says, don't look at it or you'll have the same fate, and they all died and everything. But that just shows you the reverence we need to have for the things of the Lord. So the high priest went in there and he went right up to the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim where God is enthroned. And it was all housed there. And on that Day of Atonement, the priest, in the very presence of God before the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy place on all the earth, he would atone for the sins of Israel right there. That was the high priest's job. So now that we understand who the priests were, right, they were special. But the high priest was even more special. Today I want to talk about our high priest for us. Those of us that believe Yeshua is the Messiah, Yeshua Jesus is the Messiah, we believe that he is the eternal high priest. Psalm 110:4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And we talked about who that was. I believe it was last Shabbat. He was a very famous high priest. And the book of Hebrews goes on and explains to us his role and how important Melchizedek was and how important Yeshua was as our high priest. But Yeshua is called, this is clearly referring to Yeshua, a messianic. I don't have time to get into the why it's that way, but this is clearly a reference in Scripture to the Messiah, our high priest. And he says, God says, you'll be a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5, 9 through 10 says, and having been perfected, he, this is Yeshua about him, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Eternal salvation is what Yeshua, our priest, offers. Not just atonement from sins once a year. Now, it was a big deal way back when for the high priest to go into the Holy of Holies. It was a big deal. And the sins would be atoned for another year. And then we would sin as a people. The high priest would have to go back in and we would be atoned for our sins. But what we're talking about here is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, which is an eternal high priest. This is not just once a year. This is for all time, every year, every day, every week, every moment. We have a high priest that goes before the Holy of Holies for us and makes atonement for our sins. Hebrews 7:11. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law or the Torah, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? So why do we need to have this perfect priest, this eternal one, if we got everything we needed from the Torah? Hebrews 7:22 through 28. By so much more, Yeshua has become a surety of a better covenant. And also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. So that what it's saying here is because priests died. They had to have more and more priests. Priests would die after a while. But he, verse 24, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once and for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, after the Torah, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. So not only were the people not clean enough to go in, not only was the priest not clean enough to go in, but the high priest who went in, who was the most important holy person, he was still one who had weakness, because you know why? He died. But we have a perfect high priest who never dies. Yeshua died, but was raised to life, ascended to heaven, and he continues to live. You know, in Judaism, there's all this talk of other messiahs over the centuries. But every single other messiah, quote unquote, that came, died. We talked about the Roman revolts that happened in the first and second century with the Bar Kokhba. He was pronounced the Messiah by Rabbi Akiva, who's one of the chief architects of the Mishnah, major Jewish writings, was one of the big rabbis that formulated a new Judaism after the temple was destroyed. A Judaism not based on blood atonement, but based on good deeds. Traditional Judaism, which grew out from rabbinic Judaism. But we know that those messiahs all died. And there was a messiah, they say, the ultra-Orthodox, who was living in Brooklyn and died 21 years ago. His name was Menachem Schneerson. And it was believed, and still is believed by his followers, that he is the Messiah. But he died. So he cannot possibly be the Messiah, because the Messiah is a priest of the order of Melchizedek. A Messiah has an eternal priesthood, because if the Messiah died, if that high priest died, we would not have our sins atoned for. But because he rose from the dead, because he still lives, we can have be cleansed from our sins because he continues to be our high priest. And that is the most important thing that we can talk about today. We have a high priest that has not died, a high priest that has no weakness, but he has appointed the Son, Yeshua. God the Father has appointed his Son, Yeshua, who has been what? Perfected forever. So that's the hope that we have in that eternal high priest. Yeshua, our eternal high priest, goes before the Father anytime we call, anytime we come to him and makes atonement for us. And we sin every single day. And every day we can go to him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins in Yeshua's name, in the name of that high priest. And God will cleanse us from our sins. It's as if Yeshua was standing right there in the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubim, right there and making atonement for us. And he does it every single time we call upon him, not just on Yom Kippur. But as we come together on Yom Kippur, as we celebrate this day, let's remember Yeshua, our high priest. Let's remember that it's a wonderful thing to come together on Yom Kippur. It's a wonderful thing to observe this holiday. It's a wonderful thing to fast. But we need to know that we have a high priest that has already done the work for us. As Itai said last night, all the work's already been done. We don't need to do any work. We need to accept that sacrifice that high priest, Yeshua, gave for us. So as I close today, if you've never accepted that sacrifice of Yeshua, if you've never asked God in the name of Yeshua to cleanse you from your sins, make that decision today. In your heart, acknowledge your sins. Acknowledge, we know we read Al-Chet. There's sins that we don't even do that we don't even realize that we're sinning a lot of times. We sin a lot throughout every day. And if you've never had that acknowledgement of just that cleansing of your sins by that great high priest, do it today. Don't wait a day. And if you have gone maybe this year and there's been a lot of stuff accumulating, a lot of sins going on in your life, maybe today is a day you can rededicate yourself to that high priest and say, you know, Lord, I've messed up. I've kind of fallen back from where I was. But I know Yeshua is in the Holy of Holies for me right now. And I say, Yeshua, please forgive me of my sins. Help me to get back up on my feet. And of course, this Yom Kippur, let's pray for our Jewish people out here in Savannah that don't know if they're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They don't know if the scales are tipped enough in their favor. They tried everything they could this year to be as good as they could. There's the scales right there. But we can come and we can testify to them that you don't need to worry. You don't need to stress about Yom Kippur. You can have that high priest go before the Lord anytime you want. And it's not about what you do. It's about what he did for us. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King and our High Priest. Lord, we come before you. We know, Lord God, that you made this system of sacrifices. You laid this all out with the priests and the high priests to give us a shadow. The Torah was a shadow that showed us a shadow of the things to come. But the one spoken about has come. And he has given us a renewed covenant that in him is the forgiveness of sins. And in him, there's the high priest. He is the high priest that never dies, that continues to minister in the temple, that continues to go before the Lord, the Father, for us. And through his shed blood, because he is the sacrifice too, and through him offering himself the sacrifice, he is our high priest, and we can be cleansed. We said last night there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be a Leviticus 17:11 shedding of blood. And we know without a temple, we would be in trouble. But we have Yeshua who sheds his blood for us, who shed his blood for us. So today, Lord, we ask that you would just cleanse us from all of our sins in the name of Yeshua, that you would open up the eyes of our people throughout this area, that the scales would be lifted, that they would see you for who you truly are, our high priest Yeshua, the one who fulfilled all those prophecies in the Old Testament, over 300 prophecies fulfilled in the Old Testament during his first coming, and more to come when he returns. a second time. Lord, we lift up this day to you, and we pray as we fast, Lord, we remember for those who are fasting and that don't know you, that you would bring them to salvation today, Lord God. We thank you, and we praise you. We give you all glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.